T.D. Jakes this week posted a tweet for all of you Twitter fans that grabbed me when I thought about what it was, and that's what I'm going to talk to you this morning, and I believe tonight again, two different scriptures, two different mindsets. But he quoted, he made this quote, and I want to read it to you, and I'll read it to you a couple of times so you can grab it like I did. But he said, "You can teach what you know, but you can only produce what you are. You can teach what you know, but you can only produce what you are." That hit me maybe on Tuesday and has been resonating inside of me like crazy. And I wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen with that, but God gave me these two scriptures as I was going through and thinking about that and allowing His Spirit to work that inside of me. And we need to catch that as we move through this Christian walk, because it's one thing to teach what you know, but it's something totally different to produce something. It's totally something different to be able to do it. And so I'm going to talk to you on the thought of DNA distinctive. DNA distinctive. We're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're starting in verse 8. "Now he waited 7 days, according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, 'Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. But Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come from within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, therefore I said, Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering.' Samuel said to Saul, 'You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you.'" Father, this day I pray that you would use this word, Father, that you would set this thought process in our minds, Father, not just to know something, but to be something. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How many of you know this morning that we live in a world that's dominated by time constraints? We live in a world that is dominated by time constraints, by pressures, by needs, by desires. I've lived in places, and this would be another one that says, and I don't want you to beat me down, and I know you probably already talk about me because I don't live on this schedule, but there are some people that believe that if you're not up by 5 o'clock in the morning and working and being out, that you're just a lazy bum. And I know that's probably a lot of different places. God has made people wired in different ways. Y'all already know I'm not wired that way. I'm not up with the chickens. I don't sleep until noon, but I'm not up with the chickens. It's just not who I am. This week I have to be up with the chickens, so y'all definitely pray for me. Because first of all, I have to go to bed by 10 o'clock. That doesn't happen. That's too early. And then I have to get up for 6, so whew. But we're dominated by time constraints, by the pressures and the needs. There are only so many hours in a day that you can actually go and you can do. There are 86,400 seconds in every day. Almost 29,000 of those seconds are used sleeping and resting. We use another 3,000 or 4,000 seconds just in eating. I can go on and say, you know, in the bathroom, whether you're taking a shower, whether you're using the bathroom, whether you're trying to get ready to go places, whether you're driving, whether you're actually working. There's so many different things that we can throw in there and use as examples. How many of you find that there are some days that you just don't have enough time? Some days you just don't have enough time. And it doesn't matter. Dana always picks at me or pokes at me because I will schedule one day where I'm just going to go absolutely crazy for an entire day. And I don't think about that beforehand. I think, well, I'm going to go here and do this. I'm going to go ahead, since I'm out, I'm going to go ahead and do this, this, and this. And then I'm going to go over here and do that. And then I still have to do this later in the evening. And she looks at me and says, are you kidding me? Wow, you just don't have enough time. You try and fit it all in. You try and schedule your time. I wrote here, we want to steward our time very well. God has made us stewards of all sorts of things in our lives. We've heard throughout our years in the church that we'll never get that second back. We need to make the most of this moment because God made this moment and it will never happen again. And so we try and steward our time well, and we try and arrange things so that we can do all of this. But I wonder, as you go through your daily schedule, as you set up a calendar, or you think that I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing, how many of us have a hard time adjusting to schedule changes? There's a few of you. You plan on doing this. You get a phone call, something happens while you're out. This store doesn't have exactly what you need, so you have to go find it in another place. Your kids call, your work calls, you're not feeling good. Y'all with me? Sometimes it's difficult to try and adjust that schedule because you've thought this thing out. You said, hey, I'm going to do it just like this. I'm going to work this thing out. We try and steward our time so well. Why? Because our world is dominated by these time constraints. And not only do we want to try and do things as streamlined as we can, but sometimes we have to get there at a certain time. We have a time schedule that we have to meet. I remember one of the jobs that I had. They had one yard boss, and he was a mean old guy. And he would stand right by the time machine, and when that clock hit 1 minute after, he would stand in front of it. And you couldn't punch in until quarter after. He made you miss 15 minutes of work. And he wasn't moving, and you wasn't even going to think about asking him to move. We're dominated by time. We have to get on this schedule. I'm not used to going to Walmart, the deli closes at 7 at the best. Sometimes they close at 6:45 because they want to get out of there. How many times have we gone to a fast food place and we wanted ice cream and it was late at night and they've already cleaned the ice cream machine? And you think, y'all are open for 24 hours. We sit in this society, this time, this period where we have to go and we have to do, but we often understand, we realize things don't work out the way we anticipate it working out. There are other people who could care less about your time and your schedule. Somebody could say, oh, me right there. Some people just don't care. Samuel, in this story, had set a time that he was going to arrive. God always knows what he's doing. God always knows what he's doing. He knows the things that you are going to go through. He understands the circumstances that are going to surround you. And the story goes that Saul is going and he's in all of these battles and skirmishes and he's defeating all of these people, and the Philistines are tired of it. Saul has so many people, but they hear that the Philistine army is big and it's strong and it has all of these powerful tools of war that they can use, all of these iron chariots and all of these infantrymen and all of these people and horses. The Philistines know that the Israelites are coming, and they say, you know what? We're going to take it to them. Now here is Saul right at the precipice of battle. He knows that there's a fight getting ready to come. He hears all of the stories of what is coming against him. Can y'all feel the pressure? Can you feel the pressure right now? Anybody ever had a time schedule that you had to complete a task for work? Or you had to figure something out for your family or whatever? It's sitting there. There's a deadline that's coming and you have to meet it and you have to go. That's the pressure that Saul is feeling right now. And he knows that there are certain things that need to take place. Samuel knows that he is the one that's supposed to come and he's supposed to get there at a certain time to do this thing. But it doesn't happen exactly how Saul wants it to happen. Anybody that's in this position would want the blessing of victory before they start a fight, especially when the odds are stacked against them. And Saul is no different. Saul wants to win. How many of you like to win in this life? You don't like to go down. You don't like to fall in battle. You want to come out victorious. It's a little bit of our pride. It's a little bit of our humanity that comes inside. But we want to win time and time and time again. We want to set people up to win. And we would want God's blessing to be upon the fight that we're on, so we know that we're going to go into battle and we know that things are going to happen according to what we would want to see and how we would want things to turn out. But here's the thing. Knowing what to do and having the proper authority to do it are not one and the same. Knowing what to do and having the proper authority to do it is not one in the same. I believe I was talking to, I think it was Presley this past week, and talking about this sort of thing. Anybody ever did a job at your house that you knew you were supposed to have a permit for, and you didn't get a permit? Or you at least considered not getting the permit and then weighed the options of what would happen if you got caught? Right? Everybody has at least come across that and thought, I don't know if I need a permit. Well, I know at one of the places that I live, it was $1,500 was the number. And so you could say, you know what? I'm only going to spend $1,000 this week to do the job. And then next week I'll spend $500 more. Having the right tools to do the job, but not having the permit in order to get it done. Now, actually, it was my father-in-law a couple of weeks ago. He was going to get a big home generator for his house down in the New Orleans area, but he didn't want to pay for a permit. He didn't want to pay for an electrician to come in because he knew what to do. He knew how to put it in and how to set it up and all of this kind of stuff, but he didn't want to. And so he said, you know what, I'm not going to mess with it at all because, first of all, it's expensive. Second of all, I'm not having somebody else come in and do it. Knowing what to do, having the proper authority to do it, are not one in the same thing. And so you have to be very aware of where you are and understand and recognize this DNA distinctive that I'm telling you about this morning. Because just because God has anointed you to one office does not qualify you to perform in others. And I'm going to use this just because we all can laugh at it. If you can't sing, if you sit next to somebody who can't sing, you can poke them right here. If you can't sing, don't lead worship. Some of y'all are looking at me and say, you know, you really can't sing either. I know, but nobody else will take it. Just because you're anointed in one area doesn't mean that you're anointed in all areas. Look, I'm out of my comfort zone. And I'm only sitting with my kids and their kids. Teaching Sunday school this morning, I'm thinking, this is terrible. Abam, don't tell me if it is. Ask him not to say anything. Just the only thing I told him while I was teaching Sunday school class, I don't know how you did it for all that time. And you volunteered to do it. I'm thinking, boy, they missed Pauline. I'm glad I only have to do it 1 week. Maybe I don't know if I'll have to do it next week, but if I have to, I'll do it next week. There are some things that we're just not good at. God hasn't given us the anointing, the blessing to be able to do all sorts of different things. So we need to operate in the realm where God has allowed us to operate. As we've sat in board meetings, that's one of the things that I said. You know what? At this point in the life of this church, I would love to have every ministry. I would love to have every Sunday school. I would love to have all sorts of things and all places in the community doing it, but we just don't have it right now. And so what can we do that's good right now with the people that we have? Let's do that excellently. Let's do that to the best of our ability. Let's pour all of our resources and our time into those things so that we can be the best of what we can. And then when other people come in and we begin to have work people that are standing by our side, then we can start expanding out. God anoints us to particular offices that might not qualify. This morning, I don't know that I was qualified to teach a Sunday school class, but I filled in because it was necessary. We have to be very careful and aware of the things that we try and put ourselves and place ourselves in the midst of this. I wrote a note and I said, the command of the Lord outweighs the word of man. The command of the Lord outweighs the word of a man. The command of the Lord outweighs the word of a man, because God has set in His law that only certain people were to provide the sacrifice. Now, I would assume and I would suspect that most of the people, a lot of the people of the Jewish people would have known exactly what needed to take place in order for the sacrifice to be given. But God had expressly put that there were only certain people who were qualified to sacrifice unto the Lord. And so Samuel said, I'll be there this day and I'm going to make the sacrifice. How many of you think that Saul was waiting for the sun just barely to get over the horizon so he can make this decision for himself? The Bible even says, I forced myself. I wonder how true that was. How many times have we stepped into an area where we know we shouldn't have, but we say, I know I shouldn't have did it, but it had to be done. When all along we have in the back of our mind saying, you know what, I can do this. I'm just going to take it over. Saul said, you know what, I know that I can do this. I know I need God's blessing. Samuel said he was going to be here and he's not here. And so I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna jump in, and I'm gonna. God has blessed me before. I've spoken tongues and prophesied when I first was anointed, and I'm just gonna do it. The command of the Lord outweighs the word of a man. When you willfully step out of God's order, His blessing is removed from you by default. It doesn't necessarily mean that He has completely disowned you and you're not His anymore. But the fact is, in this moment, Saul was out of God's favor. In this moment, he decided he was going to do something that he knew he was not qualified, that he was not anointed to step into this office. And he said, it's necessary to be done. There's not the right people here to do it, so I'm going to do it. And when he did it, the blessing of God was taken from him. Samuel said, there's already been someone picked who's a man after God's own heart, who will follow after His commands, and so you're done. The question is this morning, are we defaulting to our human DNA, or are we relying on our God-given DNA? Are we defaulting to our human DNA, what comes naturally in this flesh? Are we relying on something that is internal? I'm talking about DNA distinctive. Is it default for us to go back to our humanity and the times that we fail and the flesh that's within us? Or are we defaulting to God? I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to say, we serve an on-time God. We serve an on-time God. Say it out loud to yourself. We serve an on-time God. We serve an on-time God. The Bible says that as soon as Saul finished making the first sacrifice, that Samuel showed up. Now, when we read that, we think that this was just a little five-minute process that Saul may have done to get it done. It could have been hours. But I don't believe it was days. And so when I read this story and I see that Saul jumped the gun and made the sacrifice, that in the same daylight period, Samuel comes walking in. What are you doing? Well, you said you was going to be here and you wasn't here. Well, my goodness, I have all day to get here. It's still today. We serve an on-time God. How many of you know He doesn't come when we want Him to come? Sometimes He does come when we want Him to come. But He's not on our schedule. He's not looking at things through the same eyes that we're looking at. But He's an on-time God, and I want you to grasp this last little thing as we go through this and as I read these scriptures to you, and I use that as a foundation of what we do. We can't depend on what we know. We have to have something that comes from within us. We serve an on-time God. If you're going through something right now, I want you to lay a hold of these truths that I put in the bulletin this morning. The first one comes from Habakkuk. We can't rely on what we see as Saul did. We can't rely on the testimony of what even a prophet says. We have to rely on an almighty God to come through. This is what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Say, will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it certainly will come, it will not delay. I've asked you this question before. Do you have promises that you are standing on in God that you haven't received yet? All of us do. If everything else is going on, and everything else going on in our lives is going exactly perfect how it needs to be, we still have the promise of heaven that one day we're going to get to, and one day we're going to be able to participate in. And here we have God through the Spirit saying these words: "The vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision is yet in the future. The vision is something that is not for this very moment." It hastens towards the goal. It's not going to fail. It continues to move in that direction. And though it tarries, though it lingers, though it does not happen immediately, you have to wait for it. Because it certainly will come. If God has spoken something over you, if you have read something in His Word and it's not out of context, and you have been standing on it for years and years and years, you wait for it. Having done all to stand, the Bible says in the New Testament, stand firm, therefore. Allow God to do it in His time period, because if He made you the promise, there's nothing that you can do to try and make it happen faster. If some of you are praying, I know all of us have someone in our lives that we have been praying for salvation. They've been running for God for years and years and years. They may not have ever known God. You taking this Bible and beating them over the head with it every time you see them is just going to make their heads harder. You pray that God would give you the words to say. And I've said this before in this church. Sometimes you can use Bible verses that you know, but not quote and say, you know, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says this. That'll shut people down right now if they don't want to hear anything about God. But you could use that same verse. And you could use it in everyday language that you would talk and never let them know, and let that scripture penetrate their hearts and their lives. And over time, You don't just go out and plant a garden. You have to go out, you have to prepare the soil. You have to go out and you have to get rid of the weeds and the rocks and the sticks. You have to maybe make a perimeter so that all of the critters don't try and come and eat your stuff. And then you're able to plant. Then you're able to harvest. Then you're able to do all of the things. And so allow God's time. The vision is yet for the appointed time and hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 40. God is telling us right here that He set things up in His time for His purpose. Allow it to work in the way that He has written for it to work, in the way that He ordained for it to play out. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. To whom then will you liken me that I would be His equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God's telling us today that He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. We need to rehearse that, and we need to repeat that to ourselves time and time again and say, you know what, I need to wait on my God because He's an on-time God. I need to wait on my God because He is an on-time God. How many times through this life have we rushed to open a door, to make something happen for ourselves, not allowing the Spirit to open the right door for us? And when we stepped in that door, we thought, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? God's saying, be patient. Wait for me. Because those who wait for me are going to renew their strength. We probably sang that song before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Wait on the Lord. Recognize that He is an on-time God. Who can liken as His equal? Look and see that He has done everything and that He is the one that can do all things. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 27, verses 11 through 14, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. If Saul would have just waited for the Lord here in this statement, in this experience that he had, what would God have had in mind for him? What victories would he have seen and conquest he would have had throughout his years and his reign as the king of Israel? God is telling us today, if we want to rule and reign, what did the Spirit say to the churches at the beginning of Revelation? He who endures to the end. And I find myself saying that a whole lot, but we have to remember that it's so easy for us to jump the gun. It's so easy for us in this flesh to say, hey, you know what? This needs to be done, so I'm going to do it. But God tells us on a spiritual sense that we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to allow His time to come in, because as we allow His time, He builds us, He strengthens us, He does all sorts of things inside of us. Why do we fight against that? Last scripture this morning, and I'm going to pray. Found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. This morning we need to determine in ourselves what is our DNA distinctive. What is it that comes out and exhibits itself through our lives and through the actions that we take, the steps that we have, the words that we use, the way that we pray? What is our DNA distinctive? Do we take things into our own hands because we feel like time is short? Because we don't have the patience to wait for God? Or do we rely on the fact that we serve an on-time God and He is going to come through for us just in the right moment? We need to side with, we need to continue to move towards a closer connection, a closer relationship with what God has put inside of us through that Spirit, not allow this flesh to rise up within us, because this last scripture is so, it's so defining when you look at it. The flesh is hostile towards God. Just in the previous chapter, and we've said this in church throughout my entire life of being in church, when Paul says, man, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't want to do. Why? Because this flesh is hostile towards God. It can't subject itself to God. We can't operate in a mentality that is set in this world, that's set on the flesh, that's set in our own understanding and our own truths. We have to understand and know that God's word is truth, that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, that nobody comes to the Father except through Him. And allow Him to guide tomorrow's steps. Every head bowed, every eye closed.